Welcome to the Breakthrough Advisor Podcast. In this podcast, we inspire advisors with ideas and pathways to break through barriers and build a thriving retirement income business. We will interview innovative technology developers, business leaders, and successful advisors, then help you organize and execute these ideas to move your business forward.
Hey folks, this is Jack Martin. I serve as the virtual CMO for InsureMark, and I want to welcome you today to the Breakthrough Advisor Podcast. This is where the leading advisors in the United States today are coming. Literally hundreds and thousands a month are coming to learn how to level up their practices. And today I couldn't be more excited to have Carl Richards, known and worked with him for a long time. He's an icon in the business. He wrote the column in the New York Times on behavior gap. He does the cool drawings. But lately, he's been really focused on the society of advice, and I'll let him talk a little bit about that when he's ready. Carl, welcome to the Breakthrough Advisor Podcast.
Jack, thanks so much for being here. That was such a kind introduction.
Sure. I've got a question for you. So we survey about 2,500 financial advisors every 6 months, and there are some common things we get back in the way of feedback, and they're kind of clustered around: my marketing is on life support, and I struggle with client acquisition, closing the client acquisition gap. So what is it about financial advisors or this business we're in that causes this to be such a prevalent situation?
Yeah, that's such a great question. I think one of the big challenges, and this is something I've thought a lot about, is I talk to a lot of the people out there, right? Like the advisors, target audience or clients, the humans out there, hundreds of emails. And there's no doubt that they want quality financial advice. And then I also know lots of what I refer to as like sort of real financial advisors doing really amazing work. Somebody I'd send my mom to. That's kind of the criteria in my head. I know lots of them that are saying things like what you just said, like it's a real struggle to find new clients. How come nobody knows I'm here? So it seems like such a mismatch, right? There's lots of people who want advice. They just don't know where to find it. And they, in many cases, they don't even believe it exists. Like I've had people say to me like, oh, that's cute, Carl, like the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker. Like I'm talking about a fairy tale. Now, I've been thinking about that for a long time. Like why? Well, I think part of the problem is there's this whole circus. There's this like entertainment industry built around financial advice, you know, with the financial pornography network and people waving their hands and yelling and screaming. And what's happened is that's trained all of us humans out here in the world that what to look for in an advisor. Like we think the job is to find the hottest stock or the best investment. We also are worried, we read a lot, like us humans are worried because we read a lot about, you're going to try and sell me something, right? So all the advisors listening to this can relate to this experience. The client comes in for the first meeting and they've got their hands on their wallet. You're not going to get this from me. A little bit like you would go into a used car sales situation. Like this is going to be adversarial. So all of that's this like potent mix of, and then the last part is nobody really knows what a real advisor does. You know, it's hard for sometimes us in the industry to distinguish, right? We come up through all these different backgrounds. You know, we come up through really professional insurance folks and through the bank or through the brokerage firm or with the investments at the center or all these different things. Maybe we're a CPA. So it's not like you go to an ear, nose, throat doctor and you have to wonder whether they work on knees, you know, or whether they have the credentials or the experience. No, they have a white coat on. They're called a doctor and they're called an ear, nose, an ENT, right? So to me, that mess leads us to, so that's why I think the problem, that's what I think the problem is. No one really knows you exist. In some cases, they don't even believe you exist. Like somebody trustworthy and professional. Number two, if they do believe you exist, they don't know where to find you. But the good news is they want what we do. They want what they do. Like what they want what we do. They need financial advice. So that's how I see the problem.
I really couldn't agree more. And the opportunity is just staggering when you think about it. Okay. So I was reading something yesterday. We all know 12,000 boomers reach age 65 every day, right? But did you know over 2,000 boomers are dying every day? And so there's some wealth transfer that's already started to happen. And what Mark Tibergen says is the magnitude of that over the next 20 years or less is $170 trillion.
Yeah,
I mean, even by government spending standards, that's significant money, right?
Yeah.
And so it's going to pass, you know, it's going to pass to their surviving spouse, and then it's going to pass to Gen X. And oh, by the way, 36% of the financial advisors are going to retire or leave the business in the next 10 years. So we've got this big demand for advice, more complex problems, tax, longevity, health, et cetera. And we've got a shrinking population of advisors to solve the problem. Yeah. And, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head. I think the genesis of for a lot of us was in sales. I mean, I've been a CFP for three decades, RIA, et cetera. And my genesis was back in the transactional world and out of being with an independent broker dealer and coming out of that. And I think a lot of us came from that background. And so, you know, there's a certain amount of sales DNA in us. And so, you know, eventually you get that beat out of you. You know, and you take more of a client focused approach, but I think that that some of this is earned, and I think that a lot of us are still trying to sell solutions as opposed to solve problems, and I think people's sales radar gets triggered really fast in that situation. So,
yeah, what do you think? Totally. No, I agree. I think and listen, I have nothing against sales. I'm a big fan of selling. In fact, I think you have a moral obligation to sell. If your service really does what I believe my service did when I was an advisor, like I'm changing people's lives. I'm going to sell the crap out of it. Like I'm really a big fan of that. And I think what you're pointing to is what am I selling? I'm not selling a product or even really a solution, which is really interesting to me. People do not care. This is so hard to get your head around. As a trained solution provider, right? It's so hard to get your head around the idea that people don't care about your solutions. They care about their problems. And maybe a better way to say that is people only care about your solutions after they know that you've understood the problem. And so that's how I would think about marketing. I think the opportunity in marketing in this space is to be really, really clear about who it's for and what problem does it solve. And so I think really clearly about like find a problem that you're interested in solving. So this is like, it's really simple, not to be confused with easy. Find a problem that you're interested in solving. And then find a group of people who have that problem. And like, we can break that down as much as we need to, but it's that simple. Find a problem that you're interested in solving and find a group of people who have that problem.
So kind of to reverse engineer that. All right. So there's been a lot of talk in our space about organic growth, right? Firms aren't growing the way they used to grow. And, you know, we're clutching our pearls. You know, how do we grow if the market's not going up, et cetera? And when you really dive into that and you peel back all the layers of the onion, what you see is there are firms that are still really growing at a very high clip. And they're doing what you said. They have aligned themselves along a problem or a couple of problems that they are really good at delivering solutions to, and they've aligned their whole growth framework, if you will, from, hey, if you're going to search for help on taxes, if you're going to search for help on healthcare or longevity or whatever, you know, here's my thoughts, my point of view, my worldview on how all that comes together. And then here's what I'm going to do. Here's how I'm going to make sure that you're heard, make sure that we acknowledge your concerns in a judgment-free zone to get you to a point of comfort about, you know, your circumstance and how to move forward. And so, you know, it's there. People are doing it, but it's not there, you know, for so many advisors, like I said, from the survey. So, you know, it's just, I don't know if it's a knowledge gap or if it's a fear factor or if people just have blinders on or what the deal is. What do you think?
Yeah. So I think there could be some tactical challenges. Like, I don't know what to do. And I'd actually kind of like to talk about what to do real quick.
Yeah, let's do that.
What's interesting to me is even after, and we got to keep in mind, if we dive in tactically for just a few minutes, even after you know the tactics, there's a whole chunk of us humans that won't do it. I've become increasingly interested in that part of us that knows what to do, right? Like, we have the tactical information and we still don't do it. And that's a whole separate subject that maybe we'll get to around just like sort of showing up in the world and fear and imposter syndrome and all that stuff. So tactically, it's pretty simple. The firms that have really effective marketing that's actually working, the key phrase to me is they're relevant. Like, they're relevant in their clients' lives. They've defined who it's for and what it does. I open emails from people who send me information that is relevant to me, right? I don't open emails from people who send me stuff that is not relevant. Like, I just hit delete. But you better believe I have a few emails. I get a whole bunch of newsletters and I have most of them I delete, but I have a few I could tell you, like, I know which ones to look for. And I open those because there's relevant information in there. So what's the fastest way to being relevant? It's, again, like, define a really clear problem. And remember, like, nobody wakes up in the morning thinking they have a financial planning problem or a life planning problem. I've never been asked for a financial plan in my whole, I went back and looked, 10 years of weekly columns at the New York Times, hundreds and thousands of emails. Nobody ever asked for a financial plan. What they ask for is a presenting problem. And so if you can get really clear about the problem you solve, and the easiest way to do this is, the shortcut for this is through an occupation. And many people would run around calling this niche marketing. That's fine. But the way I like to think of it is, I'm just problem set marketing. So if I can shortcut my way into that through an occupation, and then I can just go interview. And again, it doesn't have to be occupational. So it could be like, I really help with tax strategies for, there's a specific, like, I live in a place where people move to retire. Like, I'm thinking Florida or something, right? I move in a place where people move to retire. So that's a very specific problem. I know where those people hang out. And so I'm going to go find out what they say, but through an occupation is even easier. Like, I work with anesthesiologists that live in San Diego and have two kids or more, like, have busy family lives, like, something really specific. Well, if I can interview 10 of those people, like, and you would pick your niche, hopefully, because you already have a couple of those clients, or you at least know, don't pick one that you don't know anybody. So you pick one that you know somebody and you make a simple email request. Hey, I'm looking to solve, I'm trying to research. So you put on your researcher hat, take your sales hat off for a bit. You can't trick this game. Just 100% academic researcher or investigative journalist hat. And you just send an email that says, look, I'm trying to understand the unique challenges that anesthesiologists in San Diego that have kids face. And I know you're one of them. So could I meet you for coffee and just ask you some questions? You go to that meeting and you ask questions like, what's the most important thing you did? What do you see? You're always when you're asking about mistakes, ask about their colleagues, not them. But what do you see? What mistakes do you see your colleagues making? What's the one thing you wish you knew 10 years ago? If they taught a personal finance course in med school, what do you wish they would have taught you? Like, you're just asking, and what you're listening for is their language. So we did this with dentists in Southern Nevada. And after like the third interview, I'd heard, if I'm not at work, I'm not making money. And I kept hearing this phrase, I feel chained to the chair, or I feel trapped in the office. And so we ended up writing a white paper after that, but we named the white paper Unchained from the Chair. So when a dentist opens that, they say, and I had this happen so many times, I've lost count. Dentists would open that white paper, look at it, look up at me and say, how did you know? And we would just say something like something kind of snarky, like, crazy, we asked you. So if I can define the problem in their words, then all my marketing, like, you better believe, like, my if you're using Twitter or LinkedIn or the Snappy Talk or whatever you're using, your email things, everything you talk about is about that problem. Oh, I was at lunch today with an anesthesiologist in San Diego, and we talked a little bit about risk. And this was a really unique conversation. I hope you enjoy this. And then it always ends with, where can I get more? If you liked this, you would love the weekly newsletter we send out, or you would love the white paper we wrote, or you would love our monthly webinar series. Like, whatever it is, you're saying, if you like this, you would love this. And it's always like, I get you. In like one sentence, can I help you understand that I understand your unique challenges when it comes to money? So that to me is tactically how you do it. You just ask. It's a crazy idea.
That is a great application. I kind of cross-pollinate from different industries, okay? So there's this guy that's really quite the big deal in customer experience. His name is Shep Hagelin. And so what he says is there's this customer needs hierarchy, kind of like Maslow, okay, but for customers. And at the top of this is emotional connection. And we're all, a lot of advisors are slogging away down at the bottom, finding product solutions. That's literally on his pyramid. When we should be thinking about emotional connections. And what you just described is how you would engage with someone if you really wanted to know them. If you met someone in a social environment, at the kids' PTA meeting or, at a dinner party and you wanted to get to know them, how would you do that? You'd ask them questions. You'd start to understand what their deal is. And so, that natural curiosity, I think we stifle. I don't know why that is, but, as financial advisors, we don't do that. I mean.
Yeah. Well, I think we should talk about why.
All right, let's do that.
Because to me, like tactically, look, I know one thing to keep in mind is like tactics are really, really important. And then at a certain level, they become a place to hide. Because if I can just research more ways to do marketing, I don't ever have to do any marketing. Like if I can just watch one more video about how to deadlift, I don't have to go to the gym. So I think, what was just laid out for you, go find a problem you're interested in solving and find a group of people who have that problem and ask them about the problem. And if you set it up right, like I'm researching, I'm trying to understand, you're not showing up with any solutions. So you have nothing to be nervous about. And the reason I say meet for coffee instead of meet for lunch, by the way, is, how long coffee could be 15 minutes or it can be an hour. Both are fine. But if like you show up at lunch and you've run out of things to say and the food hasn't even arrived yet, you're in trouble. So I love lowering the barrier for you. Like, hey, could we just meet for coffee? And I just want to understand the unique challenges you face as an anesthesiologist in San Diego. My last round of this before I sold my business was entrepreneurs with a successful exit over 10 million. It was so fun. Like the conversations I had with them and what I heard from them was, I'm going to keep playing this game. Everybody in your, all of you people in your industry tell me, like, put on the golf shoes. What you don't understand is this is what I love. He's like, but guess what? I never want to see the foreclosure notice on the front door again. Right. So we heard language like that all the time. Like, I want to make sure this is the money. This one came up a lot. This is the money I promised my spouse I would never lose. Right. So they would, and I heard financial fortress.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I want this over here. It was always kind of like, I want this over here so I can keep doing my thing. I want to take a lot of risk over here. I don't even think of it as risky. Entrepreneurs don't think of, but I want to, what everybody else perceives as risky, I want to keep playing this game and I want to know I'll never see the foreclosure. So we ended up calling the paper we wrote the over the wall portfolio. Like, hey, this is over here. So go do that. Now, why won't you do it? Here's why you won't do it. You're scared. And it turns out you're human. It's always fun because, we have so many like masters of the universe in our industry and they sit there with their arms folded and they're like, what are you talking about? I'm not scared. And then they won't do it. And I think if you're like me, like deep empathy for this, right? We all hide because we're scared to go have these conversations. But I'm telling you, this kind of conversation, like a problem understanding conversation, just all you have to do is be curious. You don't have to solve anything. It's so easy. And so if you were to do 10 of those conversations, I promise you by the third or fourth one, you'd be like, ah, I see the solution. So just remember a couple of things. Number one, yeah, it's going to be a little scary to send that email. Guess what? Here's a little trick. This is a trick I always follow. Never send that request, the coffee. Hey, I'm trying to under, here's the exact language. I am researching the unique challenges that insert a description of the population, hopefully a niche. I'm researching the unique challenges that dentists in Southern Nevada face. And your name was given to me, or I know that you have unique insight into those challenges. I'm wondering if we can meet for 15 minutes over coffee and I can ask you a few questions. Okay. That's the exact language. Never send that email to anybody who would say no. That way, like, only send that email to people who would say yes. These are people who already know you. You already met, like, the first two or three. Make it easy on yourself. Maybe the first five, maybe even all 10. And if you do that, I just am always thinking about ways to lower the fear, lower the barriers, lower. You don't have to solve a problem. You're just trying to understand the problem. And so the meeting concludes with, man, thanks so much. This has been so helpful. You know, are there any other questions I should have asked you that I didn't? And then my favorite question at the end is, hey, Jack, thanks so much for having this conversation. It's been really helpful. It strikes me I should ask you, like, anybody else, do you know anybody else that might have unique insight to these challenges? And the other thing I like to frame up is, hey, we're going to write something on what we find here. I don't know what to call, I mean, I always called it a white paper. We're going to write a white paper and I'll make sure you get a copy. And I would often say pre-publication copy, right? Is there anybody else I should talk to? And then I would often leave with two or three names of people. And again, this isn't a trick. Like, I'm not coming back later and being like, hey, here's the thing I want to sell you. I'm just going to publish a paper that says, here's the unique problems you told me about. Here's, broadly speaking, the solution, which is, like, you know, real financial advice, wealth management, comprehensive planning, like whatever it is that you want to call it. And here's what it looks like. And you don't describe you or your firm. You actually describe exactly what you do without ever saying it's you. If you're going to hire an advisor to do this, if you're going to hire somebody to fix this problem, here's what you should look for. And then the back page says about the firm and about the author. And it becomes so self-evident that it's like, hey, well, can you help me? And then all your other marketing is focused on that problem. So with that tactically laid out, the only thing between you and doing that is fear. And it's normal. And go do it. That's how I'd say it.
Yeah, I think a lot of us are stuck in the getting ready to get ready mode, you know?
Yeah, a little more research, just a little more research.
Yeah, just a little more research. And let me just go close this deal over here, and then I'll come back to this project. So right. I saw this great quote. It was in a podcast, the Founders Podcast. So that's Warren Buffett and Charlie Munger were there. And it says, learning is not memorizing information. Learning is changing your behavior. There's no point for you and I to spend all this time reading and listening to podcasts if it doesn't change what we do. And if it doesn't change what we do, we didn't really learn it. Mm-hmm. Folks, if you're listening, I hope that you pick that up from Carl. Because, like he said, he describes them as masters of the universe. There are other descriptors for him, you know, who are going to pontificate about what to do with your marketing. But he just laid down some amazing wisdom. So that's fantastic. Thank you, Carl. Hey,
yeah, cheers.
Any other questions I should have asked, the way to help our advisors overcome this?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just one more thought. Just one of the things that I always a little kind of mindset tactic is that anytime I'm scared to do something, or if I'm uncertain about what to do, either one, I make it smaller, right? So if I'm scared to do 10 interviews, I'll do one, right? Just because micro actions are micro scary. And so let's think of some other ways. Like, if I'm scared to even do one interview with dentists in Southern Nevada or anesthesiologists in San Diego, then maybe I can find, like, do I, oh, my brother's an anesthesiologist in San Diego. I'll go talk to my brother. Okay, that's less scary. And then I'll see that was an interesting experience. Here's what happens, just to emphasize something. I've never left one of those meetings, and I often did it like sort of the coffee style. I've never left one without somebody saying thank you. Because all they heard was somebody who was interested in them. Oh, tell me more about that. Oh, that's really interesting. What did you do about that? Tell me more. Oh, and what else? That's my favorite question. AWE is how I remember. And what else? Ah, and what else? And just the act of being interested in them, and at the end saying, oh man, that was so great. There's no pitch. There's no meeting. That was so great. I've never had anybody say anything but thank you. So if you're scared about doing it, just make it smaller. Like, make it easier on yourself. Find somebody you know. Find a friend. Find a family member. And I apply that to everything. And then the other thing I just mentioned, given that Munger Buffett quote idea, is that action generates new information. So at a certain point, like sitting around researching marketing ideas, there's a certain point at which, and I think of it as like a marginal utility curve, like it's pretty steep. Like new information is, oh my gosh, new information is going to yield better results. This is amazing. But at a certain point, that marginal utility curve starts to roll over, and it gets like less and less, like every bit of new information you're getting less better action. And then there's a certain point where it rolls over and goes negative. Like more information is actually going to hurt you. I have a heavy bias towards action because I know if I move, I will see new information will become available. And the only way to get that information was to move. I couldn't spreadsheet it anymore. Sometimes I use Michael Kitsis as a verb. I couldn't Kitsis it anymore. So micro actions and bias towards action would be what I would leave with.
That's awesome. Hey, this has been, we've blasted through this pretty quickly. One final question. Okay, so there's this nugget you dropped a few months ago, maybe longer. You said the key to marketing is to play in traffic. So tell me what was on your mind when you said that.
Yeah, I don't, it's like, that's the only thing I've really learned about marketing is like, I need to just play in traffic and give myself a chance to get hit, right? And we've all been trained to not do that for good reason. But another way to think about this is like increase your luck surface area. And I love that idea that there's still a big piece of this that is unknowable. It's a mystery. And I kind of get a little frustrated sometimes by, I call it the success porn. You'll see like people with like, here's 11 steps to supercharge your marketing, or here's 7 steps to be a New York Times bestseller like James Clear or something. And then when you go talk to somebody that's done it, like James Clear or Morgan Housel, and they'll tell you, I caught lightning in a bottle. You know what I mean? Like, oh boy, my writing's good. I work really hard on my craft. I did tons of research. And then at the end, and that was all of them increasing their luck surface area. Really good writing, tons of research, keep doing the work, increasing luck surface area, and then something happened. And so I think playing in traffic is just my way of saying, like, get out there and have conversations. Like, I promise you, you do 10, amazing things will happen. And we could have picked today, start a daily podcast, start a weekly podcast, write a blog post every day, send out a newsletter once a week for, you know, once a week forever. Any of those activities, we just happen to focus on this idea of interviews, but any of those are just ideas of giving yourself a chance. Because, I mean, Jack, here's what goes on. In order for somebody to hire you as an advisor, they need, two things need to happen. One, they need to know they have a problem they want to solve. And number two, they have to believe you have the solution. So much of our marketing in our industry is focused on teaching people they have problems. It's not actually that fun. And it's, I don't think it's particularly effective. Like, you know, you see a lot of that, like you have problems marketing. I think the problems actually show up naturally in people's lives. And problem is, I'm using that in the technical sense, like a puzzle you need to solve. Oh, we're going on our first vacation after having our second child. Jeez, we really should figure this life insurance thing out. Like the problems will naturally occur. I need to roll my 401k over. I inherited some money, my, you know, whatever it is. We just want to increase the frequency that when those problems occur, they think of us. And the way to make that happen at scale, right? Is to do something like we talked about, right? Just play in traffic. And then the collisions start happening at scale. And I think, again, when you say play in traffic, you get all the way back to, oh yeah, but that's scary. I know. It's scary for me too. And we just have to, my one trick around being scared is to stop being so precious about my own feelings. And believe me, this is really hard for me because I have lots of fancy feelings. Stop being so precious about my own feelings and start thinking of myself more as an experimenter. Well, that's just an experiment that didn't work. Okay. I've done way more things that have failed than have worked.
I think that's true with most successful people. I think a different facet of that is this notion of creative destruction, right? I mean, build something, launch it, break it, iterate, you know? So, you know, I think back to your entrepreneurs, I think that's in their DNA, you know? So, yeah. Well, hey, folks, this has been Carl Richards. Fantastic. Thank you very much, Carl. Awesome job. Hey, if they want to get a hold of you, they can go to...
Yeah, the best place is the societyofadvice.com, and just, you can check out our monthly workshops and attend one for free. First one's free, and you can see what you think.
That's awesome. Hey, folks, this is Jack Martin again with the Breakthrough Advisor Podcast. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedules. Please like, share, comment, subscribe, pass this along to your friends, neighbors, colleagues. And until the next episode, we look forward to seeing you then. Thanks, Carl. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Breakthrough Advisor Podcast. Click the subscribe button below to be notified when new episodes become available. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guest and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of InsureMark. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only.